welcome to Anime Afterlife Podcast, episode 31. I'm your host, Dave the Zombie, and I'll be the only host on this show today. I'm joined with my co-host, Dave the Zombie.
Woo!
And manga specialist, Dave the Zombie.
Nice.
And the co-host, Dave the Zombie.
Who are we?
Who are you? Who are
we're
you?
Dave the Zombie.
We're Dave the Zombie. Hey, guys.
I'm Dave the Zombie. You're Dave the Zombie. We're all Dave the Zombie.
That's right.
I know.
I'm totally Dave the Zombie.
Where's Robot Dave, though?
He's dead. All right. News. Dave the Zombie, what do we have?
All right. Let me start first, Dave the Zombie.
I'm the other Dave the Zombie. Jeez, Dave the
Zombie. No, I'm Dave the Zombie. Me first.
Fucking Dave the Zombie.
Okay, Dave the Zombie. All right, let's start off with something really nice, okay? Digimon Cross Force is getting another year.
That's not nice.
Pretty much it. Yeah, that's very nice, Dave the Zombie.
Fuck Cross Wars.
Yeah, why does everyone hate Cross Wars? It's perfectly fine.
Killing my childhood, Dave the Zombie.
You haven't even watched it. You don't even know what's being killed.
It's killing my childhood, Dave the Zombie.
Oh, gosh.
Spoilers. Kill.
Okay.
I would like my childhood, but it died.
Whatever. All right. More news. The author of There Are on Bacano, I don't know how to say their name, I'm sorry, is making a novel adaptation of Tite Kubo's Bleach that's kind of, they're kind of right in the
future. Ew.
What, King? Come on. A novel adaptation.
Dave the Zombie.
Sorry, King. Dave the Zombie. King.
Dave, shut up.
Sorry, Dave.
Freaking damn it.
It's hard to keep track here. Tales of Zillia is getting two manga adaptations. If you haven't heard of that, it's the new Tales game. What?
I'm tired of Tales crap, though.
What? Like, you don't like Tales?
No, I like the games, but usually their manga / anime are pretty stupid.
I thought one of the animes was pretty good.
Abyss was alright.
I see. All right, 1 second. I just heard about the live-action Usagi drop, which I have no idea about anything else
really?
About that.
Dave the Zombie? Because that promo's been out for a while.
Yeah, I know. I just heard about it. It's like I'm behind on the times, Dave the Zombie, or something.
So,
like.
How about Usagi drop's ending?
Oh, yeah.
How was that? Oh, wait. I'm the only person who knows.
I know it.
I know. Oh, you know it, Dave the Zombie.
I got spoiled by it, Dave the
you
Zombie.
You got spoiled?
Yeah.
Don't say it here, Jesus.
What do you think about the ending?
That's weird. That's just all I'm going to say. That's weird.
Alright. And Redline, as we all have known, the movie that's been taking the world by storm for the past fucking couple weeks now, has won the Audience Award for Best Animated Film at the Fantasia Festival in Montreal. It's pretty big news right there.
Nobody cares about them. They're Canadians.
Course, but Redline's an amazing movie.
And
you should watch
it. I thought Redline was supposed to come out this year, but apparently it's coming out next year.
Apparently, I don't know.
And
it's weird.
I heard from this blog that it's getting a dub, so that's something. You know?
Yeah, Redline's gonna shake the world and stuff. Fucking stupid stuff. Did you hear about the Tiger and Bunny stuff, Dave the Zombie?
Which TMB stuff?
About it running an episode in theaters?
Oh, yeah, the last episode, right?
Oh, yeah, the finale is going to be aired in theaters. It's going to be cool.
I didn't know it was that popular. That was, like, only had Western appeal, or...
I didn't know either. I thought... But then again, it's the Sunrise. All Sunrise shit is popular. Every single Sunrise shit is probably popular somewhere.
Alright.
Probably. And the last news I got is that Funimation licenses have expired, finally, from Gideon Entertainment. If you don't know who they are, they gave Funimation some of the licenses to their shows back in, like, 2008. Some of those were Paradise Kiss, Kamichu, Kyokara Mao, and The Law of Ueki, and those are expiring, and they're going to drop the animes. Also noted is Higurashi, When They Cry, has expired a while ago, back in June, and Zero no Tsukaima, I think. I don't know how you pronounce that. Familiar of Zero expired a while back, too. So I think they dropped those. I'm not sure, right? Really. But, yeah. That's all I got.
Okay.
Save the Zombies. So I'm done. If anyone has any other news?
I'm going to mention the Yamagami news. Amigami. Oh, yeah. Amigami SS is getting a second season. That is pretty surprising. I don't really care that much for it, but I don't know. I guess I'll watch it.
Just I don't know how they could do it.
Someone said, like, if they already did the good endings, maybe they'll do the bad endings. And, like, oh, that'd be interesting.
The bad endings.
Maybe they die.
Maybe they everyone dies in the bad endings. That'll be fun.
School days, every ending. Ah, oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, did I forget to mention that I've seen all the trailers for fucking Aquarian Evil, the sequel to the very, 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 very religious or whatever, pretentious, whatever the word I'm looking for is, Aquarian? And it looks better than the first one? Not that that's news or anything. Dave?
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep going?
What else? Oh yeah. From, what's that? Comic-Cat 80. They showed a bunch of previews for the new stuff coming out.
Yeah.
Like Persona and Working.
Not just for the fall season, like for the winter season too of next year. Or this year.
Winter season.
Yeah, they showed some winter season stuff like...
Next year?
Yeah, it is next year, isn't it?
What are you talking about?
Like, I thought the new Iki-Tosen season was in winter next year, which is kind of suck too, but...
Ah.
And stuff. I don't know, whatever. Who gives a shit?
Alright.
Mostly fall stuff, though.
Okay. Anything else? Day of the Zombies?
Hot Rock Shooter's getting a TV anime. You already say that?
I don't think so.
Alright. Black Rock Shooter, the OVA, is getting a TV anime by a, I don't know who the studio is or when, but it was announced. So, it's pretty interesting. I don't know what the hell they're going to do. Because I still am confused as to whether that OVA is based off the song, or if the song's based off the OVA, or if the character's based off the song. I don't know. But, whatever.
Like I hate to admit, but I don't think half the people actually watched that OVA actually knew about the song.
Probably not.
Yeah. Song's not too bad either.
Yeah. So yeah.
Alright.
That's it for news. Okay.
I don't know, is it? Disgaea 4 is coming out and has new stuff that somebody told me about earlier.
That's not anime news.
That's anime news. It has Holo and Astaroth. Index and Astaroth.
Yeah. I guess.
Persona 4 is getting an anime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All the PVs to, like, I Don't Have Many Friends came out. We all watched them.
I haven't watched them.
What?
Because I don't want to watch them.
Really now?
Nope.
Insane.
Alright, well, that's it for news. Let's move on to what are you watching or reading. Let's head it up to Gabe first.
Nothing.
I mean, Day of the Zombie.
Okay. Absolutely nothing. Like, I've rewatched Welcome to the NHK and Nagima and Bamboo Blade, but I haven't watched anything new. Because this freaking game. This freaking game.
God, Day of the Zombie, you should really get on the new stuff.
It's too late. I'm already past the point of return.
You're
I can't
so
of return.
I can't like just go back to it now. I have to wait till everything's done and then I'll just marathon it all, I guess. I don't know. At the same time, but I haven't watched anything all week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's one little bit of news that I forgot to mention, and I guess it's somewhat important. ADV filed a lawsuit against Gainax over the live-action option.
Wait a minute. ADV Films is still alive? Apparently. I thought they went bankrupt, like, forever ago.
AD Vision. I don't know.
I don't know, whatever. So what's this lawsuit about? I think I heard you talk about it earlier.
It's over the live-action Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think they're fighting for the rights, I guess, to produce.
Because they signed a contract with Gainax that made it, that I think, like, that let them have the let them have it so that they can make live-action Evangelion movies. Like, at least three of them, I think.
Yeah, God, that would be terrible. Just, okay.
I'll work for Gainax.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's all I wanted to mention. What about you, Dave the Zombie?
Me, Dave the Zombie? Dave the Zombie.
You, Dave the Zombie.
Yeah, you, Dave the Zombie.
All right. Through the magic of what people call Netflix, I've actually been watching anime instead of just reading manga all the time.
Yay!
Interesting.
So I guess I've been watching D-Gray-Man, Samurai 7, watch Shuffle again.
Oh God, King! Why?
Just because.
Whatever.
Finished Xenosaga, Blast Rider, Fate's Day. You know, stuff like that. It's been a good day. Lots of anime.
Oh yeah.
You know what? I have played a visual novel. That's what I did. That's right.
Okay, Dave. Okay.
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 Good job, Dave.
All right, Dave. What about you?
All right, Dave. I've been on our agreement. I've been watching tons and tons and tons of Digimon, immersing myself in the Digi world.
How far?
And all its diginess. I'm 11 episodes in right now.
Okay.
That's pretty far. I'm almost done with the first arc. It's pretty cool. Like, it's not bad. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to get into the new Jump mangas like Konosuke Ikkyo and Stars and all that shit. I don't know, man. I'm trying. I'm getting there. There's some getting there, but some are kind of nah. And Gungrave's getting really good. Got to episode 14. Kind of have to marathon the rest of it because it's so amazing now. And what else? Gunslinger Girl, caught up to that on the channel. I read the new Itsumori Bito that came out.
Oh yeah,
in Barnes and Noble. That was pretty sick. Volume 3 was pretty cool.
Is it?
I think, yeah, it was good. It was good. There was a hot spring scene in it too.
How does it hold up to Volume 1 and 2?
I think they were just as good, maybe a little less than Volume 2, but about the same in either way, anyway. There's a hot spring with the girl from Volume 2.
Oh, okay.
You know, the girl that has no name and stuff. And I started Sacred Blacksmith, which I've actually been really enjoying, opposed to the negative shit I always hear about that series, and everyone hates it. I guess it's very stupid, but at least I don't feel embarrassed while watching it, I guess. I don't know.
It's your guilty pleasure.
Yeah, it's another guilty pleasure. Of course. And Dragon Ball SD updated. Watching Cell get beaten in one chapter was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Judge updated. That was pretty interesting, I guess. Shingeki no Kyojin, the one about Titans, updated like with four chapters. That was pretty good. I really liked that manga. And I finished Negima Question Mark with Gabe and Arrow.
Yeah.
And from King's recommendation, I started that manga, Mangetsuken Kitan, which is amazing. I love the fucking Frankenstein girl. She's incredible.
You're going to be reviewing Question Mark, right?
No, Dave the Zombie.
Dave the Zombie, you're not? Okay, sorry.
I'll be good. Anyway, yeah, I've been pretty busy lately. I wish I would have finished a lot more series, though. I feel kind of bad. I haven't been finishing everything I could be finishing, so whatever. But you know, we always have those times. So, I'm done. Dave the Zombie. You can go next.
Alright, Dave. Let's see. What I've been watching, really more of the same stuff from last week. Gundam, Princess Choo Choo. And, I don't know, I guess there's not really nothing new that I've been watching. About Princess Choo Choo, Dave. All I can say is it's the music that makes the show so far. Otherwise, I'm not too crazy about it.
Don't worry.
It's interesting. It's just, I guess you'll say, it just takes time to get into it. I caught up to Kimi no Uramachi, and the point where it's at is just, it's garbage. It's terrible. I thought I was enjoying it at first, but it's just gotten to the point where it's can't redeem itself. Honestly, the romance in that manga. Makes absolutely zero sense. I think the main character is as bad as Makoto Ito at this point, and I am dead serious about that. It's just awful. There's no.
I told you.
Yeah, it's he had such a good thing going, and then he ruined it. It's terrible.
Makes no sense whatsoever.
They should just end that manga as soon as possible, because honestly...
I think they're just, like, stacking on drama.
Yeah. Okay. Just freaking A. Alright. That's all I've been watching and reading. So let's go to our reviews. Day of the Zombie, what are you reviewing today?
Okay. I'm gonna do the honors of reviewing our first visual novel, I think.
Oh no.
We haven't reviewed a visual novel, have we?
Of course not. No. King's review of the web anime. That's about it.
Well, that's not a visual. Huh?
What?
What?
You reviewed a web anime that one time.
Did I?
Yeah, about the fighting guys, and they kept fighting and fighting. And that one about the guys that was kind of like Judge in Doubt or something like that.
Oh yeah, I remember now. I reviewed Zen Session.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Well, I'm going to review a really nice light novel that I played, like... visual novel that I played a few months ago, I think near the end of the school year. It's called Jisenja no Mao, which means the devil on G-string. It's a play on words for box, song, air on G-string. What this visual novel is developed by Akabe Soft 2. They're a really credible company. They made a lot of good works that get a lot of nice reception, like Shara no Kuni. And I think Jisenja no Mao is arguably their best visual novel to date. What this visual novel is about a kid named Asai Kyosuke, who is the adopted son of a really big Yakuza leader. So, like, he's really rich and all he cares about is money, really. And his dad is, like, the biggest a-hole you'll ever see. So he kind of... he kind of takes from him. He's kind of a delinquent, and he just, lives his life being that, a delinquent who just loves money, until one day a girl named, hold on, let me check the name. I don't even know her name anymore. Oh, yeah. the girl's name who comes into town is named Usami Haru. She's a real awkward girl. Like, she has incredibly super long hair, and she's really stupid, kind of, but she's kind of shy also at the same time. But the story starts when, because, he has connections into the mafia, the Yakuza or whatever, he kind of hears what's going on in that world. And what's going on is there's this guy named, who calls himself Mao, which means devil in Japanese. And he's, like, causing a lot of shit. Like, he's killing leaders in that, in the business world and shit like that. But for some reason, Haru, she has, like, direct connections to him, and they're, like, enemies or whatever. So the whole visual novel is about Haru and Mao, having a little cat and mouse battle with each other. And then Kyosuke just kind of gets caught up in the middle of it because he's kind of tied into it in more ways than one. Which, you find out. But overall, the story is really nice. It has a lot of nice continuity. Everything ties in well. It has a lot of twists and turns. It surprised the hell out of me. And I really enjoyed it, for everything that it was. It starts out slow, and this is one of my early visual novels, so it was kind of hard to push through. But I'm really glad I did, because it really paid off in the end. The art. This is really important to a visual novel. The art is really nice. I think they really stepped up their art from Shara no Kuni, because, I love the character designs. There's a little sister, too, and her design is incredible. So, voice acting is really solid. All the music is based off of classical pieces from America that, I don't know, you probably never heard it, but you might be able to recognize it sometimes. But overall, it's a really nice visual novel. I recommend it to anyone who's trying to get into the genre of visual novels but never played one before. It's pretty long, but if you can get through it, it's kind of like an advanced visual novel. So, after playing a few, you can try this one. It's really nice. I guess I'll just, use the same score that we always use. I'll just give it a 9 out of 10. reason I don't give it a 10 is because, you know, when you go to the endings for Another Girl, instead of, like, you know, the true ending, the ending of that one does not tie in at all. Like, in absolutely no way. It kind of just, like, dies out. The real story just dies out, and, you know, the ending for the girl you're going for is kind of like just a happily ever after thing and doesn't really tie in at all. But, you know, other than that, it's a really nice visual novel, and I recommend it to anyone. So, yeah.
Really now?
Yeah, I do.
Anyone, huh?
Yeah, well, not really anyone. If you can't read, don't.
Here we go, picking fun at disabled people.
Oh my god, this shit again.
Okay. What game did you think it would be good for an anime adaptation?
Oh, definitely. This would, even a half season, I think they could pull it off with this, but it's a really straightforward, when you look at it as a whole, the storyline is really simple. It's kind of just, you know, one incident after the other when you're trying to, you know, solve the mystery. So it be really flexible with it. You can do a half season. I think a 24-episode adaptation would suit it perfectly, but I really think this could use an anime.
Who do you think should do it?
Huh?
Who do you think? Which studio do you think should do it?
I don't know. That's a tough question. Maybe, I don't know. I feel like saying Brainsbase for some reason. Hmm. It just seems like the kind of thing that they would do.
All right, then let's go to Dave the Zombie. This review.
All right. Dave the Zombie's review. This time I'm going to be reviewing Anohana, which I just marathoned today.
All today.
Damn wow. Straight. I am very, you know, thorough with that crap, I guess.
What? So, oh, cool.
Why are you singing Dave the Zombie?
Dave the Zombie.
Anohana is about a group of six friends where, as kids, they used to play a lot together. And then, until, like, one day, one of their friends got into an accident, and she died. Her name was Minma. So, after this accident, basically, the group of friends, they slowly began to split up, and, you know, they stopped, I guess, being friends. So, then, you know, it skips ahead towards... They're in high school now, I guess?
Yeah.
It skips ahead towards them. What?
Well, actually, all that shit was in flashbacks, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So that's why you didn't hate it.
Yeah. It goes to them being in high school, and everyone's, like, doing their own stuff. And the main character, who is probably the closest to the girl who died, he's become a shut-in. You know, Hikikomori, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Hikikomori. So, but during his life as a shut-in, one day, the ghost of the girl that died appears in his house and saying that she wants her wish, you know, she probably just, you know, she wants her wish granted so she can move on or something. But she doesn't know what her wish is. So, and on top of that, only he can see her. Even though she can, like, interact with the world, like, she can eat.
She's tangible.
Yeah. She can eat, she can hit people, she can grab onto objects, you know, she can move stuff around, but only he can see her. So, the story goes with him getting all his friends back together to, you know, help her try to move on and all that good stuff.
What was your favorite thing they tried?
What do you mean, the favorite thing they tried?
Because they tried a bunch of shit, like they played Pokemon.
Yeah, that's funny.
And they, what else did they do? Yeah, Pokemon was great.
Continuing on, seeing as the show's only 11 episodes, it's very nicely paced, because what freaking Clannad did in, you know, so many episodes, they easily accomplished in their 11 little episodes.
Did you hear that, Gabe?
Oh, what?
Yeah, Dave. Yeah, Dave. Jeez.
What? I don't get it. I don't know what you're talking about.
I said what Clannad accomplished in their whole, like, 26 episodes, was it?
Uh-huh. Oh,
they accomplished in, you know, 11 episodes, so.
I see.
The only problem with it being 11 episodes like two of the main members, the two of the cast members, they really didn't get fleshed out enough.
Yeah, the glasses girl and Popo.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the way to like the last episode, last two episodes to flesh them out, but you know, it was still good. And it had a really good soundtrack, I have to say, really nice score. But they used this one track, like almost every single episode.
And are you talking about the piano one or the ending?
The ending one.
Okay.
The one that's supposed to happen when something sad is happening. But yeah, because they play, but because they play it like every single episode, it loses its, you know, value.
I didn't feel that at all.
No, I felt that way.
It's the ending. It has to be in every episode.
But it happened like every time something sad was happening, so.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess in a few times it felt like it was a little tacked on, but like
yeah, it feels like it's starting to feel like it's tacked on.
But most of the scenes, I didn't even notice it. I was like, oh, that's sad. There's music.
Like, yeah, some of the parts it did it perfectly, but then some of the parts felt like it was tacked on.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
and the you know one of the big things that made this anime really great is the characters, because you know eventually while you're watching this show. Instead of actually using, you know, the characters' names, you start, you know, referring to them by their nicknames, by, you know, whatever their nicknames were when they were little kids. And I think that, you know, brings out character value really good if you start doing that stuff. Like, they say their real names a lot. Since they're more grown up, they try to shy away from using their old nicknames. But eventually everyone starts using their old nicknames for everybody, and so do you, the people who are watching the show. So I found that to be pretty good.
Shows how close they're getting.
Yeah. And it wasn't all overly dramatic. There are some really nice, some really funny parts in it and whatnot.
Some romance.
Yeah, a lot of romance. The characters were really nice, I have to say.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite character?
Yeah. Naruko. Oh.
Who?
Naruko.
Who's that?
Anal.
Oh, Anal. Okay.
Who?
You see.
There we go. Let's do it.
Her first name, Anaru. Sankaku.
Yeah. No, that's not her first name. That's her nickname.
That's her nickname.
Well, whatever. Her nickname is Anaru. Sankaku liked to point out that English. That's English for anal. So.
What? Ever. Idiots.
Everyone liked her though, because she was always the girl that
think she's the most level-headed and sensible.
Well, yeah, so. I guess.
Like, Yotsuko, he is an ass, but
who?
I think the other guy.
Yukiatsu? Why are we? Yukiatsu. You're not even calling them by their nicknames, King. How can you talk about being
whatever? I forgot like a second ago. Yukiatsu.
He's
an ass, but I think the show needed a character like him.
No, I liked what they did with him eventually, because as the story went on, you start noticing Popo and Yukiatsu really trying hard to deal with the fact that Jin-Kan can see Menma and they can't. And they get really
sad. Popo so much. I think Popo.
No, Popo was sweating a lot in a lot, because I watched the anime twice, and the first time I never noticed it, but the second time I went through and I noticed that Popo had a lot of scenes where he was almost cracking under the pressure, not being able to.
Yeah, because they go into his backstory and everything, and it makes sense.
This is a nice cathartic anime, if you know what that means. If you don't, then just you know.
Just did you just look up that word just for this discussion game?
No.
Yes.
Uh-oh. I already knew what the word meant. Do you know what the word means?
Yes.
Exactly.
No, you don't.
Okay.
Google.
Yeah, Google. I don't know how to spell it.
Dictionary.com. But yeah, the characters are really fleshed out. Everyone has, you know, their issues. Some people have more issues than other people. But it was really nice. You know, some tearful moments. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, score-wise, if anything, I would give it 9 out of 10. Because like I said, like I compare it to Clannad a lot. Like I compare it to Fuku's arc because they're very similar.
Who do you like? Which one do you like better, Fuku or Menma?
That's not even a question.
I guess she's an all right character. I don't really like her though, but you know, I like Fuku. So
I think we all have different favorite characters in Anohana, don't we? Dave's is Popo. Mm-hmm. King is Anal. And Gabe is...
What?
Gabe,
Menma.
What?
Menma, right.
You like Menma?
I guess.
And I like Jitan. Jitan's the best one for me in that series.
I liked in the first episode, he looked kind of like... what's his name from?
I know what you're going to say. I think.
Samurai Champloo guy. Mugen.
Never mind, I have no idea where you're going with that one. But okay. Yeah.
One minute.
It's the hair? It's the hair?
Yeah, because he had his hair tied up in the front.
Oh, you're right. He did look kind of like him, now I think about it.
Yeah. That's so funny.
It's not you. It's for Dave.
I like the moments in Anohana where Jintan would do his random outbursts, like in the middle of class or at the store or whatever. You remember those, King?
Yeah.
He's a pretty good guy. He's an idiot. I love him.
He's a good friend. I'm like Yukiatsu. That's why I don't remember his name because he's such a jerk.
Oh man! I bet you don't even know the glasses girl's name at all, right?
Yeah, Surimu.
Oh shit! I don't even remember her name.
I liked her.
I know. Jeez.
I just didn't like Yukiatsu, but. I have to admit, he you know, they needed a character like him, so.
Alright. Are you done, Dave?
Yeah, I'm done, Dave.
Alright, Dave. Well, then let's go to Dave review.
Yay! I'm going to tack on King for mine, too, because you know me, I can't do a review by myself because I'm so incompetent. And I need a little bit of help from somebody. King, will you assist me in this one?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to review tonight two works. They're going to be really... I'm not going to take too long on both of them, though. One is Fate Stay Night. The other one is Unlimited Blade Works, the Fate Stay Night movie. And I guess I could start off with Fate Stay Night. Fate Stay Night is the... what's it called? The anime adaptation of the famed visual novel, but done by... What's it? Typhoon? Of Tsukihime, of Melty Blood fame, all that jazz. Anyway, Fate Stay Night opens up and he introduces the main character, if I can remember his fucking name.
Shiro
Emiya. Emiya. He is a, I think he's a...
high schooler, yeah.
Well, no, not a high schooler. Yeah, of course he's a high schooler, but he's a mechanic of sorts, I guess. A do-it-all man, kind of. You're introduced to him, like, working on TV or... random shit that he does for like people at school and shit. When the anime opens up, you see like Sakura come and wake him up or something from a dream that he was having about the past. You don't really get explained much about that, but at the point at the beginning of the anime anyway, usually Sakura comes in, she wakes him up and takes him to school along with his teacher, Tiger, whatever she was, Tiger Sensei, whatever her name was. And, little do we know is that Shiro Emiya has some kind of what do they describe it as, King? Dormant magical powers or what is it? He's like,
yeah,
he's
a magic ability.
He has an ability to reinforce or like rebuild. You know, he can imagine the structure of an object and like reinforce it. Or fix something, fix TVs, shit like that.
He
makes it stronger. Yeah, he can make like a wooden sword into like a steel pipe, kind of like that kind of shit, or anything like, or wooden stick. I mean, kind of that shit. That's basically his ability. And as far as magicians go in the Fate universe, or just in any type Moon universe, his ability is kind of lame. At the beginning, like even most magicians in this universe call his ability pretty fucking lame. And but. What Fate Stay Night is about is it's about the Holy Grail War. It's about a war over who will get to possess the Holy Grail. And the Holy Grail is said to grant the wish of one person whenever it comes out, I think is what they said it would do.
Yeah.
And how you participate in the Holy Grail War is you make a pact with a servant, which is a servants are basically what they call legendary heroes from history. They could be anyone from history.
They're
right?
Heroic spirits. So
heroic spirits.
So spirits of a hero somewhere in history, past.
They can be from the future, present, past, anywhere really. And all it requires is that usually it's a really, if you want to get like a really powerful hero, you need to be a really powerful mage and have like a bunch of magical power to keep them, you know, in the world and supply with mana and shit. But around like the, I think it was the second episode, Shira gets into like the whole business with the Holy Grail War. He witnesses a fight between two of the servants, Archer and Lancer, which all the servants kind of had code names. Like you don't want to know who they are from history, because that would give away like their weaknesses and shit. So that they know them by like code names. Like Archer is he's just an archer. He's part of the Archer class, and Lancer, of course, is part of the Lancer class. And you have other classes like Saber Rider. What else are there? Caster,
Sir Assassin, Berserker.
Assassin, yeah, Berserker, all that shit. And basically, he witnesses the fight between Archer and Lancer, and he ends up getting stabbed in the heart by Lancer, because you're not supposed to have any witnesses to the fights of Holy Grail War. Since he's a magician, he can actually see the servants, and so he had to be silenced. Anyway, it ends up with Shiro getting his own his own servant called Saber. I think we've all heard of Saber before. She's like the iconic, she's the icon of Fates Day Night, pretty much. And basically, it's just him and Saber going out to fight during the Holy Grail War. He decides to participate in it. Bunch of shit happens. That's basically Fates Day Night. I don't want to go into Fates Day Night too much, because most of the Fates Day Night universe is a kind of a spoiler. You have a bunch of betrayals. You have a bunch of people you find out who are who. Like, there's a bunch of really amazing heroes in the anime that are really, they're just really well thought out. I just like them a lot, especially Berserker. He was broken as shit, and Archer was pretty broken too. At least in Unlimited Blade Works, he was. But anyway, I don't want to get too far into the original Fates Day Night, so yeah, that's pretty much it, really. And what Unlimited Blade Works is, it just follows a different path. It follows the Archer's path. It follows Rin's path, and Rin is the another girl from Shiro's school who is like, she's also a magician, but she's pretty much way better than him in every way. So she gets her own servant. His name is Archer, and he's not really like, there's so much left out about him in the original series that I felt like I was missing something whenever I was watching it. I kind of felt like Archer was this badass guy, and you never really find out much about him because he wasn't really in the anime that much. But when they brought in Unlimited Blade Works, and it's all about Archer, and it was like one of the... I thought the movie was better than the series, King. I don't know about how you felt about it, but like, the movie was really rushed, though. It's like, it was very fast for like the first maybe half an hour to an hour, and then it started like whenever they got to like the final climax of the series in that arc, it got kind of, it slowed down for like the big battles and shit, but it just skipped over so much shit and stuff. Like, the opening credits for the movie took up like, I think, the first three or four episodes of the series, which were crazy. And like most of the arcs in Fates Day Night, the main character will end up basically going on a different route depending on which girl the arc is based on. Like soccer route, he's obviously going for soccer. For the Saber route, he's obviously going for he's obviously interested in Saber and shit like that. In this movie, the main character is actually really good. Like in the series,
the main series, Shiro is he really sucks as a main character.
He's not good.
Like he's always like, oh, women shouldn't pick up weapons and whatnot, and
Just because his servant is a girl, Saber, he thinks she shouldn't fight, and that even when he's fucking powerless, he should stand up and get killed, basically almost making her disappear, like for half, almost, no, the whole anime, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
I guess. But in Unlimited Blade Works, he grows, he just becomes so badass in that movie, because he does some shit in that movie that he would have never thought of doing in the original series. He becomes so fucking awesome. in that series. Like I can't really explain it. He's just a lot better. And I'm hoping that they do the other arc, Heaven's Whatever, for Sakura. I really hope they do that so I don't have to play the visual novel. I mean, reading the synopsis King is fine, but I'd rather, you know, see it, you know. I don't know. But yeah, Unlimited Blade Works, even though it was really rushed, it had Shiro was a lot better in it. Archer was a lot better in it. I would say Rin was probably better in the series. I don't know why. She just felt better. Actually, you know what? She was a little better in the movie, too. And Saber was barely in the movie, so I can't really talk about her, I guess. I don't know. I kind of like the movie a little more than the series, but that's just because...
they had to do a whole route in, you know, 2 hours, so...
Yeah. I guess it was pretty hard to do that. But, yeah, I recommend them both to everyone. You know, you don't have to be a Type Moon fan to get into this shit, but it does help because there are some... There's a little references. Did you catch any references to any other Type Moon series, King? At all? In the series? Was there any connections at all?
I didn't really see any.
Is there official connections from Fate Stay Night to him?
Yeah. Like, something happens at the end of Sakura's route, which makes some complications happen, which brings in Toko from Karano Kyokai.
Toko, the red?
Yeah, red.
They're always the ones that connect the series, though. Like, Toko, red and blue, one of the two top magicians, always connect, like, Tsukihime, Melty Blood, and Fate Stay Night together for some reason. I don't get it, but they're probably the main factors of the series. But yeah, I don't know. Fate Stay Night was a great ride. I really loved the original series. Loved the movie a lot more because the main character was a lot better in it. And Archer was amazing in the movie. I loved him in the movie. And finding out who everyone was a joy in itself. Just seeing all these legendary heroes for themselves was really fun. And if you have time, yeah, you should probably check out Fate Stay Night. I don't even care if you. The anime is good. I mean, I know the visual novel is a lot better. I know it is, but I'm going to play that eventually and then read the manga. I think the manga is based on Unlimited Blade work, so I'm going to enjoy that. And basically, I'll give both 9 out of 10. The movie, maybe mid-high, and the series a mid-9 because they're both really good. I really like them a lot. So, yeah, Fate/stay night. Don't want to talk anymore. Talk too much. Done.
All right.
Quality sucks.
Okay.
Dave the Zombie.
All right. What I'm reviewing this week is the Shaft show that not many people know about. It's a very short show called Wreck, and what Wreck is about is there's this guy, this average Joe guy. He gets stood up by his date from the movies. And he later sees her, like, walking by the movie theater with another guy, and he's, like, feeling so down. But then he meets this other really, like, energetic, flimsy girl called Aka.
Flimsy?
Yeah,
what's flimsy?
Or she's, like, I don't know. She's really hyper.
Forgot this was made by Shaft. This was Shaft, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
This is the most unshafty Shaft ever. Shaft.
Yeah.
Shut up.
This looks... Yeah, this... you would never suspect this was done by Shaft, because it looks nothing like the other Shaft's other works. But, you know, then again, this is not by Akiko Yushin, but this is by Ryoto Nakamura.
Yeah, this is a different director.
Yeah.
But anyways, this is the director of Colorful and Kino's Journey and Zero Experiments Lane.
And Ghost Hound.
Mm-hmm. Add that on to it. Anyway, Flimsy Girls.
Yeah. So, you know, later, you know, they decide, she's, like, really energetic, and they decide to, like, just watch the movie together, because he didn't want to waste those tickets. But, you know, later he finds out that there's a fire, like, happening nearby his house, and he sees that there's, like, this apartment burning down, and he sees that it's the same girl. He's outside the apartment, her whole apartment's just burned out, all of her stuff is gone. So, you know, he invites her to his home because she's really nice and they have, like, you know, do the nasty. But, yes, Gabe, bumping up at least together.
Keeping it EG up in here.
I'm just saying, it's funny the way you said it.
Well, you know, she's just going to stay at his house for, like, because he's just a nice guy. He's not going to, like, abandon her. She's been nice to him even when he's down. So they have this, like, more than friends, but not quite lovers relationship. And this average Joe guy, he's, like, the project leader of this stack company. And this girl is a wannabe voice actress. And she's, like, a big admirer of Audrey Hepburn, which I think is, like, pretty interesting.
She's a what?
She wants to be a voice actress.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she signs up for the same project that he's working on. She stars in the commercials for the snack company. So, you know, they're both, like, working together, like, without knowing that the other is part of the project. So, they try to keep it secret from their companies. But all in all, you know, it's a very simple love story, and it can be, like, really enjoyable. It didn't really need to be complicated. It was just, like, very straightforward, and I really enjoy that. I think they really should have expanded this. I would have liked to see more of this. Each episode is, like, 11 minutes long. There's only 9 episodes of this. But, you know, it was cute. It was nice. you know, I also like the opening of Rec. It's so charming.
Opening's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's so cute.
I think Gabe would like it, even though it's not Shinbo, but...
Gabe would love it.
Yeah.
Because the girl's kind of small, about his height.
Yeah, she does look kind of wally-ish.
She's like a midget. She's like a midget, kind of, only not, really.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I do recommend this too. Romance lovers. Because this was nice. It did do some romance stuff quite nicely. Even like while the voice actress is like struggling with her work, you know, he's always there to stand beside her and help her when she's down. He's a really nice guy. What else?
This is better than Koi de Oshigoto.
Was that also done by Shaft?
No.
What do you?
I bring it up?
Because it's about voice acting.
Oh, okay.
Koi de Oshigoto is that one about that arrow gay girl voice acting for stuff. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she does, the voice actress does, like, try to take on as many voice acting jobs as she can, even, like, one of them's an arrow gay, and she's like, this is kind of weird and confused. I'm not really comfortable making all these weird sounds in the mic, but she does it anyways. Because she's really ambitious about her dream. And it's nice to see that these two are, like, so unlikely couples, but they fit each other so well.
It is unlikely because the guy is so average. He looks kind of he reminds me of the main character of Begat HK because he's so fucking average. But the main girl's like really cute and spunky. And
would you, like, call this like a Torador romance ish?
No,
really,
because it's quite the opposite. Ryuji was a badass. He had this monster face everywhere he walked, and Taiga was a badass. He had this monster face.
Well, see, now you're judging Ryuji because he's not a delinquent. He's a very nice guy in the end.
He's a nice guy. It's just he looked like a monster.
Looked like a dragon.
Yeah, he did. And did Taiga look like a tiger?
Kind of.
She had a mane, kind of, you know. A little maney. But no, I'm going to call this a Torador romance.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's very unlikely that these two...
Well, it's a mature romance. Like, they sleep together a lot, and
they don't.
Not like a no... Yeah, they do.
No, they don't. They don't... I mean, it means, like, sleeping, not, like, sleeping.
No, I meant sleeping, and I meant sleeping. I said it. Like that, I think, right? They slept together.
Okay, are they sleeping together, or are they sleeping with each other?
They slept...
There's a difference.
Why'd you say it like that?
Because there's a difference. I don't get you guys. Are they sleeping with each other?
No.
Yeah, they're sleeping with each other.
No, they only slept with each other once in the main first episode. Other than that,
it's implied they sleep together all the time.
I don't think so. She's pretty she's not really ready for commitment. Like
neither is the guy. Well, actually,
he's like pretty eager for a relationship, but she's not. She doesn't really know yet.
This is a more mature romance than Toradora. Toradora was a very high school-y romance, drama-filled thing, which I love, by the way, but this was a more subtle, not very shallow kind of... You can go in-depth with this romance and probably pick out a few things that would never... You normal people would never think about. And this is a very under-the-radar show, too. No one's ever talked about this show. Yeah, ever.
I just picked this out of the blue on some, like, big anime list, and I thought, oh, this is only, like, short... This is very short.
Hello.
Yeah.
I thought I told you about it.
I think I saw like the first couple of episodes and I kind of like just put it on hold, but then you said that you told me to go back to it. And I did.
Yeah, cuz it was so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched Rec rarely very 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 early. This was back when I watched Umi's show for the first.
Rec was a very enjoyable show. I didn't expect much out of it, but I got really a lot of enjoyment. You know, it's short. Just, like, take a few hours out of your day to just watch marathon it. It's really fun to watch. I gave this 8 out of 10. It was good.
Hmm.
I gave it the same damn score.
It's not Shimbo, is it?
No, it's not Shimbo. It's back when Shaft was not fucking on drugs.
Well, you told me Le Petit was, like,
colorful. Le Portrait de Petit Cosette is not colorful because it's very dark, but the problem is that it's very trippy because they're on acid for the entire anime. Because Shimbo is like one of his first works, goes crazy, and he's like, "Okay, I'm gonna make this guy die like 5 times through different camera angles."
And then
it's gonna be awesome.
He came back to the chef's office, coming in and saying, "Hey, I found a bunch of more PCP and cocaine behind the dumpsters. let's go make Negima question mark." And then that's what right. Sense. Right.
And that's how Zetsubou Sensei got made, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, Rec is the most down-to-earth I think I've ever seen Shaft at since ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I like them like that. I like Shaft when they're down-to-earth.
They should do more down-to-earth stuff. I love Shimbo's a great director, but just goddamn, he's crazy.
He is.
Yeah.
He is Gabe.
I know.
He's crazy.
Alright. Well, I guess that's it. This has been Anime Afterlife Podcast, episode 31. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to us on iTunes, on Zoom. Subscribe to our blog at animeafterlifepodcast.wordpress.com. Check it out. Alright, see you next week.